The scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 21, and then also from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 5, which is on page 12 in the back of the hymnal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with 11, verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him, that is Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Marvelous words. And now we turn to Lord's Day 5, which is the first Lord's Day in the second division of the Heidelberg Catechism called Deliverance. The first question is, according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? The answer is, God requires that His justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of His justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. Can we pay this debt ourselves? Certainly not. Actually, we increase our guilt every day. Can any other creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? No. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for man's guilt. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it. What kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? He must be truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, He must also be true God. That's leading us to Lord's Day 6, which deals with Jesus Christ. What instruction, what wonderful instruction this is. Before I preach on this, let us seek the Lord in prayer. And in my prayer, I'm also going to thank the Lord that some of those who've been looking for work have found work. And that's a great blessing. Father, we pray that as we open this beautiful passage of Scripture and the teaching of our catechism, we pray, Lord, that You will bless it onto our hearts. And we also rejoice, Lord, that some of those who've been looking for work have found it, that You have given them work. Lord, we praise You for this. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our Lord, first a word to the boys and girls. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? I remember one of our little kids was lost in a huge mall, in a shopping center. And they were with Mom, And somehow or other they ran off and they couldn't find her. And you know, a mall is a big place. There's all kinds of stores, all kinds of doors, all kinds of places, and they could not find their mother. They almost panicked. Finally, someone saw them and said, "What's your problem?" "Well, I can't find my mom." They said, "What's her name?" And so the little child gave her name, and that person brought them to someone who had connections, and they announced on the loudspeaker that went throughout the whole mall, is mom there? And gave her name. And meet your daughter here. And so that's where they met up. But it's terrible to be lost. It's a feeling of panic. I remember when I was a little kid. My dad was minister in Hancock, Minnesota. And that was in the year of 1940. And I was 4 years old. And he had taken the call to New Holland, South Dakota. And the moving van had already taken our stuff. And so the house was completely empty. And I ran across the street to say goodbye to my friend. And I came home and there was no one home. Unbeknownst to me, my mom and dad had run to the store a moment. But I didn't know that. And I thought they left for Dakota. And here I was all alone in that house, and my mom and dad were gone. And I was left. And I panicked. What am I going to do? It's a terrible feeling. Now, why do I even talk about this? Because the Heidelberg Catechism, if you recall last Sunday, Lord's Day 4, the questioner of the catechism, that's us, because it's all personal. What is your only comfort? Okay, so it's a personal. And last week, the person, that's us, says, doesn't God wrong men in requiring us to do what we can't do? I mean, that's really defensive. I said last week there were three objections, and that's one. Then of course not. God does not do that. Well, God isn't going to punish sin, is He? Well, yes, He is. But isn't God merciful? And you see those three objections last week. It was very defensive. Now, this week is totally different. And it's like a little kid getting lost and all of a sudden he's very, very humble. He's very humble. And very glad to see mom. And very glad that things are okay. Listen to the question of this week. It's just a radical difference. Since, according to God's righteous judgments, we deserve eternal punishment in this life and in the life to come. Is there any way of escape and to be received into God's favor? You see the difference? There's a huge difference in attitude of the questioner of the catechism from defensiveness to a sense of true humility. And a recognition that I am unworthy. There is no way I can save myself. Is there any hope at all? Since we deserve God's righteous judgment, is there any way of escape to be received into God's favor again? That's the first question. That's a very good question. You see, asking a good question is a very important thing. That is a key point. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, "Be Sanctify Jesus in your heart as Lord and be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a question regarding the hope you have. That would be wonderful for someone to ask you a question as to the hope you have. How can you handle what you go through? How can you handle difficulties? How can you handle sorrow? How can you handle pain? How can you handle facing the loss of a job, the loss of employment, or how can you face cancer, or how can you face the death of a loved one? How can you face all these things? How can you? That's a good question. And we've got to be ready to answer it. So our life has to elicit a question from people. We live in a society and we rub elbows with all kinds of people. And the lifestyle that we live has to raise a hunger in the hearts and lives of other people so that they ask, what's your secret? What's your secret? How can you do it? How can you raise a family that's just really an exemplary family? How'd you do it? Be ready to give an answer. Okay, now this questioner, in Lord's Day 5, this questioner says, all right, I give up. I give up. Since I deserve, by God's righteous judgment, I deserve eternal punishment in this life and the next, is there any way out? Is there any answer to be received into God's favor? You know that in the Bible there were those that asked that question? I'm thinking of a man who was a jailer. You remember that story? In Philippi. He had put Paul and Silas into the deepest part of this dungeon prison and bound their hands and bound their feet, and all of a sudden at midnight they were singing, Paul and Silas were singing, and the whole prison just shook with an earthquake and all the prisoners were loosed and this jailer was ready to commit suicide. He was ready to plunge a sword into his heart. When Paul says, whoa, 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 don't do anything, we're all here. And he trembling came and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that a great question? What must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your house. Another man at the extremity of his life, he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What a great question. Job, who was also at the extremity of his life, said, if a man die, will he live again? Just like that, this you and I, this is our teacher. The catechism is our teacher. It's our confession. We're saying, yes, I know I deserve God's punishment, but is there any answer? Is there any way out? So there's three things in this question. And I call the question the preface to pardon. First of all, there is a recognition of need. Secondly, there's a prayer for pardon. And thirdly, there's a desire for fellowship. Just listen to this question. Since I deserve eternal punishment, that's a confession of sin. Do you know that a confession, that a sense of need, is really part of deliverance? Any counselor who deals with marital problems, alcohol problems, addiction problems, no matter what kind of addiction it is, whether it's sexual addiction, gambling addiction, alcohol addiction, any kind of addiction. Any counselor dealing with that issue knows that the minute that the person says, I can't help myself, I need help, that's part of the cure. In fact, in the AA 12 steps, that's the first step. That's the first step. By the way, AA is an outstanding organization. It was started by two evangelical Christians way back in the early 1900s to deal with alcohol, alcoholics, and alcohol problems. And actually, those 12 steps deal with any kind of addiction. The very first step is, I cannot help myself. I am out of control. I cannot help myself. And the only way I can have help is a higher power. And they put in their higher power so that they wouldn't offend anybody. But what they meant was Jesus Christ Himself is the only answer. That's part of the cure. Recognizing a problem. That is part of the cure. The minute you get people who have difficulties of any kind to say, I cannot help myself, is there any cure? Is there any help? You know very well that things are opening up, and that's a very good first step. The hardest thing is that a person comes to that point. They're always trying to say, well, it's not my fault. It's bad friends, bad environment, bad this, bad that, but not me. Oh, no. The Catechism teaches us clearly the problem is right here. Since I deserve God's righteous judgment, is there any hope? So that's the first thing. So there's confession. Confession is good for the soul. You know what it says in Proverbs 28:13? Very important verse. Very, very important verse. Whoso covers his iniquity will not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall find mercy. Boy, I thought of that verse back in 1973. Richard Nixon and the Watergate scandal. Talk about a cover-up. He denied he knew anything about it. Denied it, denied, 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 and he still, to the day he died, he denied. But it was clear that he knew. And I thought of this verse, Proverbs 28:13, whoso covers his iniquity shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes it shall find mercy. I am confident that if Richard Nixon at that time would have come clean to the American people and said, I made a terrible mistake and I am really, really sorry and I want your forgiveness for what I did. Do you know what? The American people are a generous people, they're big-hearted, and I don't think that he would have had to resign. But he covered up. And that's exactly what Proverbs 28 says. Whoso covers it up will not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes it shall find mercy. It's a great verse. Proverbs 28:13. Don't forget that one. So that's what this is. That's this first question. And then a desire to get into God's favor. That's what we want. We want God's smile. That's what Martin Luther craved. All he could see was an angry God. All he could see was Christ with the balances of justice in his hand, and Martin Luther knew that his guilt was way outweighing every good thing he ever did. There was no hope for him. He wanted to be received into God's favor. He wanted God's smile. And there was no way, and there is no way, for us to get God's smile if we try to lift ourselves up with our own bootstraps. It will not happen. There's only one way to be received into God's favor. Only one way. But that desire to be in God's favor is so important. Psalm 73, another beautiful psalm of a struggle. This person, the psalmist, was struggling. It was his own fault because he looked at the ungodly and saw that they were prospering and doing great and no troubles and no sickness and everything was turning into gold for them. And he, the psalmist, was serving the Lord and trying to do the right thing and all he had was trouble. And he said, it's just no use. Until he went to the house of the Lord. And then he saw, truly you have set those folks who are, everything is good for them, but they're godless. They're on slippery places. How soon will they go to destruction? I was in the house of the Lord and I saw their latter end. And then I came to the Lord. And the song in our songbook on that is, in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thine own to keep me near Thy side. Thy counsel through my earthly way shall guide me and control. And then to glory afterward Thou wilt receive my hope, my soul. My only hope is in Jesus Christ. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Tell me, what is all other ground? On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Sinking sand. There's no foundation to it. And that's all of our good works. We cannot depend on our good works to save us. Jesus and Jesus only. And that's what this question is really getting at. Since I deserve eternal punishment, is there any hope to receive God's favor? Now, what's the answer? Yes, there is. Yes, there is hope, and there's wonderful hope. You know what it is? God requires that His justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of His justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. God's justice. God is a just God. He cannot pick up the carpet and just push sin and guilt underneath and just make believe it didn't exist. It's not the way God is. God is a just God. The Bible says, it's in Isaiah 1:27. Israel shall be saved by justice. God's justice must be satisfied. God is a holy God. His law was flaunted. His law was disobeyed. His word was rejected by Adam and Eve in paradise and all of their children after are all in the same way. God cannot let disobedience go unpunished. The Bible says again and again, Old and New Testament both, the soul that sinneth, it must die. And so the justice of God must be satisfied, either by ourselves or by another. There, by another, points to an open door. There's only one open door. And it's not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not all my sorrow, tears, and sighs can bear this awful load. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can part and speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. God's justice must be satisfied. That's for sure. Can we pay this debt ourselves? Certainly not. We only increase our debt. Oh, there's a lot of people in this world who think that they can pay themselves, pay their own debt. You know the two diagnostic questions of the evangelism explosion. The first one is, if you should die tonight, do you think you'd go to heaven? And sure, they say. And then the second one, if you do die and you stand before the Lord and He says, now, why should I let you into my heaven? You know what the most common answer is? I've lived a good life. I've tried my best. I never got in jail. I've made my mistakes, but basically I'm a good person. And so God should say, of course, come on in, you're a good person. God doesn't do that. You know what the Lord Jesus said? Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's nobody that's perfect. We all have sinned. Suppose a person only commits one sin a day. In a year, he's got 365 sins. I mean, we sin all the time. This says, certainly not. We increase our guilt every day. There's no hope in us. You know, in evangelism and witnessing, trying to tell other people about the Lord, a great evangelist, a great preacher was Martin Lloyd-Jones. He preached in London at Westminster Chapel for 35 years, I think. He was asked, he came to America, he was asked, if you had 1 hour to spend with someone who really didn't have much religious background, how would you approach him? You had 1 hour. He said, I would spend the first 45 minutes of that hour to try and convince this person that there is no hope in him. I would convince him of his sin. Unless a person knows their need. It's exactly the way it is with any addicted person. That's why this question, the first question, is so important. We got to know our need. Absolutely crucial. And the answer is, we can't do it. We are incapable of doing it. We cannot save ourselves. We only increase our debt every day. Well, how about another person or a creature? How about an angel? Could they do it for us? Or how about a lamb? Or how about an animal? Could they do it for us? Any other creature? And the answer is no. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for man's sin and guilt. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it. No way. What kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? There's only one possibility. And that possibility has to have two important qualifications. Number one, that person must be a human being, must be man, because man sinned. And it is only just to punish man for man's sin. There's no other way. You can't punish an angel for man's sin, can't punish an animal for man's sin. only a human being. But that human being must be a real man and a perfect man. Because if they have any sin themselves, there's no way that they could pay for anybody else. So they've got to be a real and a righteous person, man. And the second qualification is this, that the weight of the wrath of God is so enormous against sin that no mere human being could bear it. So this person must not only be a real and a righteous human man, but he must also be true and eternal God, for only God can bear the eternal wrath of God Himself. And that's exactly the qualifications of our mediator, Jesus Christ. Did you notice verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5? Him who knew no sin, so that's righteous, and he's a man. Him who knew no sin, God made him to be sin. God laid our sin on him so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is the answer. He is the only answer. The only one. Shame, shame, shame on those churches that say there is another way to God beside Jesus Christ. And I know there are. There are churches that claim the name of Christian and saying, yeah, but it's too narrow to say there's only one way. No, 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 no. That is unbelief. That's unbelief. There is only one way. Jesus, could He make it any clearer when He says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. I'm sure you all know that verse. Jesus is the only way. The only way. There is no other. And I hope and pray and am confident too that you love Jesus. Don't you? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God laid our sin on Him. He paid the price and set us free. And not only that, He also lived a perfect life for us. Christ is the answer. There is no other. Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, dearest friend to me. Can you say that tonight, this morning? Jesus Christ, He is my dearest friend. He is my only Savior. He is truly the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone said, Amen.